This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to Who You Wearing, a podcast about clothes and style. I am your host, Kate Bridget-McLean, and the only thing I love more than a charity shop bargain is asking people about their clothes. Now, episode 14 is the final episode of series 3, but it is the first ever live recording of Who You Wearing. It's with writer, podcaster, actor and comedian Alison Spittle. It was recorded at the Machynlleth Comedy Festival in April of 2023. I'm crossing everything that hopefully a live version of the show will be back at the Machynlleth Comedy Festival this coming May 2024, depending when you're listening to this. This is such a fun chat, and you get to hear some of my warm-up questions as well. So I always ask the guests, there's about six questions I ask at the beginning. I ask every guest these, and one day I'll release them all. But at the moment, I just sat on all this gold, and sometimes they're as long as the interviews themselves. So if there's any questions that jump out, actually, be like, oh, I would love to hear what everyone said about who's your style icon, get in contact with us, let us know. We talk about class and fat phobia a lot in this episode. And again, we talk about the expectations on plus size people to be role models and spokespeople just by virtue of existing in a world that doesn't want you to. Alison is such a funny, smart woman, and her sort of whimsical, eclectic style is a riot. She's absolutely... well, she just completely has her own style, like a genuine one-off. There are people who are very stylish, but you're like, I can see where you got that one and that from. But I cannot think of anyone who dresses like her. I can't think of many other people ever who accessorize with religious iconography as much as she does as well. What a great woman. This is the perfect, fascinating, honest and hilarious chat to end the series on. Please enjoy me asking Alison Spittle, who are you wearing?
Please be asking my wonderful guest, Alison Spittle! What a combo, right? So welcome to Who Are You Wearing. So this is a podcast where I basically chat to people I think are incredibly stylish about what they wear and why they wear it. I'm really fascinated because it feels vacuous, but I actually think our clothes are the quickest conversation we have with the outside world about ourselves. It's what we want to say about ourselves. It's wearable art, and I love hearing people's stories. So this is being recorded as a podcast. So Alison, for the people who are listening on the podcast, tell us what you're wearing right now.
What am I wearing? So I'm wearing hiking boots,
sure,
because practicalities. And then I've got some green tights on. I think they're from Snag.
Of course they are. The part that all plus women wear. Got some on right now.
I'm a fat girl of an Instagram account. They got me. They were relentless, I have to say.
They are.
It was 4 years of me going, oh, I don't think I need it. Little guy.
I think
dog the bounty hunter is more chilled than snag tights are with their advertising.
I think, yeah, I think snag tights love more fat women than fat fetish men.
Nah, look at you on the internet. Yeah, how about this?
Then the dress is a multicoloured. I would describe it as a stained glass.
Stained glass is what I was going to say.
Yeah. And that's from a bad company that I bought from 3 years ago. I'm not going to give them the...
Yeah.
And then one more, I got a hair clip from the same bad company. A
little lemon hair clip. That's lovely.
Yeah. It looks real.
It does look real. I thought you had made it yourself.
Oh. I mean, I do give that vibe, don't I?
The necklace.
Oh, right. So this is a bolo tie. And it's got a yellow little pendant here of the face of a woman called C-Matt, who is an Irish country music singer who sings, well, she's like, she does disco as well, but she sings about crying in chicken shops. And Peter Bogdanovich, the affair that he had with Sybil Shepherd in the 70s. And she's amazing. And her album is called If My Wife Knew I'd Be Dead. And she's amazing. And I bought that at a concert. I don't know in what conditions that was made in.
You won't have to fact check
everything. I
know.
But I feel like a lot of human misery has gone into making me look this whimsical.
Yeah, you're quite carefree dress sets. There's been a lot of literal blood, sweat and tears.
Yeah, a lot of carefree attitude and other stuff, yeah.
I've got a quick fire question.
So, right, as quick as you can.
As quick, okay. Is there a colour that you feel like you can't pull off?
Black.
Really?
I know it's slimming, but I don't give a fuck about that.
Do you know what I mean? What do you wear to a funeral?
I will wear black. But black with like maybe a pink pattern on it or something.
Love it.
Yeah. If it's a family member, like they know me. So I just wear like a big bright t-shirt with a sad face on it.
It's
the emotion I feel.
Who's your style icon?
I like Lizzo. Lizzo. And there's this woman on Instagram that I can't remember the name of, who Kiva Bob has just shared with me, and she's now my style icon.
Lovely.
I think, yeah.
We'll track down who that is, and I'll drop that into the podcast.
Yeah, do.
Otherwise, a woman on Instagram might not be enough to find it. Do you have Christmas Day outfits in your household?
We get new, well, we, my mum buys new pyjamas for Christmas or for hospital stays. the doctor seeing you in your monkey PJs, so we get brand new ones. So like pyjamas, I'd say. And when we used to go to church, we used to wear like nice Christmassy clothes.
Would that be something that was bought specially, or you'd all just turn out in your Sunday best?
Sunday best, yeah.
Would you ever wear double denim?
Oh, I was a Bewitched fan, so never say never.
What do you consider a neutral that others don't? So neutral's typically black, white, you know, things that don't attract. So things that I see as a neutral, animal print, sequins, metallics, feathers.
Oh yeah, no, definitely up for that, yeah. I think maybe something that's not textured would be neutral.
Oh really?
Do you think like, is that like, I'm very weird with clothes. Like, I've had a meeting with HR when I worked in an office about my clothing, because they had casual Fridays and they told me that I was dressing like I'm in an office on a Friday and the rest of the days it was a bit mad. So
what order do you get dressed in? Like, how do you decide?
I genuinely give it a sniff. If it passes that test, it'll go on.
That's horrible.
My style inspiration is not stinking of sweat.
My style inspo is a fragrant gusset.
That's a great band.
Fragrant gusset.
What do you wear to sleep in? Is the final one?
Oh, like, it depends. If I'm with, like, so. If I'm sharing a flat with comedians, then I will wear something with trousers on. I'll give them that. But literally, I walk around like Winnie the Pooh normally. Just a t-shirt, you know.
But letting it breathe.
Oh, my mum was a big advocate of letting it breathe. And she was. When I say it, I mean my vagina. I don't know why. Maybe it was like, my mum said, like, you have to let it breathe. I was like, fine. And then I hosted a sleepover, and I was like, I got ready for bed, And my mates were like, what the hell are you doing? I was like, I'm letting it breathe. Are you not? Why have you got trousers on? And there was a bit of a scandal where I'd upskirted myself at my own.
And now I'm a stand-up comedian.
It's a perfect story. I'm telling you now, I've never went to the doctors with any vaginal issues, I have to say.
Well, my mum was a big advocate of letting it breathe as well. I was like an anti-fan, and I don't want to get into it too much, but I've only had to rush once, and that's because I was incorrectly put on antibiotics. Yeah, only time I've had it. Although I'm tempting fate because I've got some very thick polyester knickers on to hold everything in, then some snag ties and whatever this flammable layer is. So, imagine it's.
I was on a steam train today with like an open flame. And I did like tuck my skirt into my tights. So I was like, no, you know, the human misery has gone into this. The revenge would definitely be me being set on fire.
Spontaneously combusting an art festival. So do you remember how old you were when you first became aware of clothes or fashion? In particular, that feeling of putting something on to make you feel a certain way.
Yeah, I suppose I've always been fat. Like, I'd say when I was like a fetus, maybe I wasn't. For the listeners at home, I'm fat. And but the thing is, like, I kind of moved around a lot as a kid. I moved from like Ireland to England to Germany and back and forth, and I kind of like didn't really settle down in the place until I was 8 years old. And this place that I settled down in is like it's a council estate in the middle of Ireland, in the middle of a rural village. And so there was only about 14 houses, and I was just moving in. So I was what you would call in Ireland a blow-in, right? Which is like a person that's just not from the village, that's moved into a village. And there was already like a little society within the ranking of children. And like we were all financially in the same place. But there was this one kid who would like kind of bully everyone else and say like, in Ireland, by the way, we have this thing called pennies, which is the equivalent of it is Primark. I don't know why they have different names, but they do. So he would go, oh, you got your clothes from pennies, your mum doesn't love you. And he always had like night hoodies and stuff. But his mum got the night hoodies, because she's the same financial position as us. She got the night hoodies from the little market that was doing fake Nike stuff. And when he said that, with clothes and stuff, it was quite like, I'm making it sound a bit like Jane Meadows here. My childhood was fine. But we'd always have little rows, and there was always a relationship between your clothing as a kid and your standing in society and stuff. And because I was fat anyway, I would get bullied because I was fat. But when I picked my own clothes, I would take whatever I liked, and when they would try and say, you know, you dress like shit, I'm like, nah, mate, I'm actually quite great. when I made decisions about my clothes and when people signed me up over my clothes, it felt really great because I knew they were wrong. You know what I mean? This makes sense. I know it's comedy.
No. This is fascinating. Yeah. Means that you have that robust sense of self-esteem from a really young age then.
Well, I was so it was a small estate. They're lovely, but I was into Morrissey and the Smiths and the Cure when I was a teenager. But I was the only kid. I was I smoked when I was a teenager. That was the only thing I had in common with the kids from my estate. We are all mates. Just, you know, when you're 8 years old, you're a shithead. But you know, I grew into it, and all my friends would love DJ Cammy and Scooter and stuff, and I liked it secretly too. But because I was a bit of a goth and stuff, I was allowed to be my own self. And then when we all went to secondary school, because I came from that estate, if anyone tried to bully me over what I looked like, the kids from my estate would be like, fuck off, that's Alison. Do you know what I mean? Because I'd grown into it, and that's why I'm saying. So I kind of have always had no problem with how I dress, although I think there's this thing women, my mum's fat and thin, my aunts are like that too, and they hate the rounds, that's a big thing that they hate, so they would always incorporate getting dressed up, wear a lovely dress and then pop a bolero over the top of it. And it was they were covering up a dead body or something like that. Or those people used to release without charge, just pixelated to go to they don't exist. So So, like, there was always that element of, like, I always covered up my arms because I felt like that needed to be done. And then, if I'm being honest, it wasn't my own self-worth that did it, but someone was like, why do you cover up your arms? They're perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't. And then I was like, okay, great. And it just opened more kind of, like, dresses and stuff that I wanted to wear. So that's the kind of, yeah.
So do you think you inherit that arm thing? Is that you inherited it from the people around you?
I think so. Yeah, because I don't like, I didn't hate myself. I felt neutral about myself. I still kind of do. But there are days where I'm like, ugh, like that. And like, people get weird about it. Like, I notice if I talk in stand-up about like how I look or whatever. I think sometimes about the reaction from people, and it's really nice that I just go, no, I refuse to take part in this laughing. You are great the way you are. Yeah. And you cannot say anything else different. And it's like, I'd like fat people to be given the same freedom that other people are given when they talk about themselves,
yeah.
In a way, because like, I don't want to be, like, when I say, like, Liz owns my style icon, I think she's great, but I think she's held up too high on the platform. And, she's held on an incredible, like, pedestal. People love her. There's, like, loads of, like, knives underneath that she can drop from where people are like, you just fuck up once,
yeah,
about your self-esteem and you're no longer the fat person that we love or whatever.
It's that really hard thing when you're sort of like an excellent role model where it's like, okay, you know, because I respect you, and you sort of be like, oh, it's lovely if people respect me, and like, and you have to be perfect now, and you have to be everything I want from you. It's
yeah.
Quite a stressful thing.
Sorry about it, I know it's about clothes.
This is what the chat's about.
Yeah.
So did you have a strong sense of style as a kid? Be like, I'm not wearing this, I'm wearing that,
yeah.
I don't care what they're wearing. Were you doing your own thing?
Well, because like the kid that bullied people about wearing different clothes, he was dressed like shit. It was just a Mike Cody.
They came off the wash.
Yeah. And like, I just really like colour. I always did. And also, like, when you're fat, it's very hard for you to find clothes that will fit you, especially because I'm like from a rural village, and then the town is that's near it. It's not much better. Like, I mean, in a village, no one can get clothes.
Yeah.
You can get cigarettes and petrol. And that's about it.
You get pregnant too.
Sometimes all three. Yeah. But like in the towns, it would be like up to a size 16. By the time I was a teenager, I was 16, 18. And then you got New Look, which is like the high street shop that sells stuff for fat women in a corner. And I don't know what it was in the like 2000s and stuff, but I think they thought that all fat women wanted to dress like they worked in a bookies. it was just shirts and stuff.
Boxy shirts
and like, you know, shoulder pads and stuff. And it just. But what would happen is my aunts and my like all of my relatives. And they would be like, when they'd lost weight, they'd come over to me with a big, like, bin bag full of clothes. I'm not going to need this anymore, Alison. Do you want to have a look at this? And I'd be like, yeah. And I'd get all my favourite bits out of it. But if they'd put on weight and they no longer could fit into the clothes, it would be a more morose kind of, like, dragging over the sack. Going, here you go. And, like, I remember one of my favourite jumpers I got. There was this woman that I knew, and her husband had cheated on her and left her. And I went round to her house, and we decided we were going to do a bonfire out the back and burn all his clothes.
That seems balanced.
So I was a teenager. Yeah. But he had a really lovely cricket top, like a really lovely cricket jumper, you know, white with a bit of green coming down here. So I wore that. I just would go around and wear that man's clothes. And I'd look at him like, there's nothing you could do. Maybe you shouldn't have cheated on your wife. So
who was dressing you? Was it you know, family? Was it mum? Was it like pet? Like, who's having a say? Were you doing it all yourself?
Mum to a degree. And then, like, I was brought up Catholic. And with Catholicism, you get
God dressed you.
God, yeah. Old JC himself.
Yeah, I just wore sandals and a fine robe.
But you had a thing called confirmation where you as a 12-year-old could pick your best clothes that you wanted. My cousin got those, they're like Doc Martens, they're a New Rock or something.
Oh, the New Rocks, yeah, they've got
fire coming out, like, yeah. Paint on the side of it, it looked amazing. I did get a double denim, it was a denim jacket and a denim jeans with sequins on it, because obviously I had to go up to Dublin to get that because that was the only place. And then I got into Soul Salad Crew and Garage Music. And I used to get some gel pens and do graffiti on my old trousers and stuff. And just got Soul Salad for life.
And then I got to Morrissey, those were the two.
Easy bedfellows.
Yes.
It's a classic gateway drug. We all get to Solid Crew and then it's gone to the Smiths.
Yeah.
So were you ever put in anything that you hated?
Let me think. I think I would dress my granddad. My granddad's a real peacock. He's from Ireland. He wears like Tommy. I was going to say Tommy Robinson, and he is not. What's it called?
Hilfiger.
Yes.
The other one's the White Hood. If it's Tommy Robinson.
Yeah. So he would wear like designer clothes, and he's very into his appearance. And he would go to me like, "You're dressed as a fucking hippie. Like, what the fuck's going on?" So I would dress like. More normally at family occasions when I was a teenager, but I really did hate it. So I kind of like, and they've accepted it and stuff, so that's fine.
Did you have a favourite outfit then when you were a kid or a teenager that you put on that you just never wanted to take off?
I had a My Little Pony jumper. I was incredible. So the hair and the tail was 3D. The tail was bits of wool that hung from it, and I used to rub it all the time.
And it was fucking filthy.
It was absolutely disgusting. Just like Weetabix, caked into the back of the tail.
My Little Dysentery Pony. That also sounds like something I could see you wearing now.
I know. I think my style hasn't really. I don't see the point in dressing like an adult, really, that much, because I work as a comedian.
Yeah.
I don't have a real job. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't have any savings.
Every day is Dressed Out Friday.
Every day is Dressed Out Friday when you're depressed. I also do the thing of, like, I don't like being beholden to, if I put in the effort one day, it doesn't mean I have to put in the effort every day. Do you know, like makeup and stuff like that. I'd be very happy not to wear makeup one day. I remember once I did an interview, and they did a thing where they describe what you looked like coming in. They're just filling.
Yeah.
And I was like, she was wearing no makeup. I was like, really? That, like, it just didn't occur to me that might be not a normal thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to put in... What you need to know about this woman is she's barefaced.
Yeah.
It's so weird that is noteworthy.
I know.
And not the norm. When you were growing up, we're similar age, but different countries, so I feel like it might be a different thing.
Yeah.
What were the big trends, and did you go in for any of them?
Is it Canterbury tracksuit trousers? They were like a rugby, they're in New Zealand, I think it's Irish, in the way that it's a New Zealand company.
Is it like a kiwi and then three things?
Three swans. So I think it's like, I'm very bad with designers, but there was another thing called doobies, which are shoes that are black, with the laces were kind of curled like ringlets, and they were like,
what the fuck
are those?
Normally someone's like, oh, you know, it's trousers and skirt, like, yeah, and everything you're describing is like, what? What was going on? Was this in Germany or in Ireland?
Ireland. It was like, basically, they were kind of like posh rugby tracksuit buttons.
Okay.
And then these shoes that were like, that you would wear on a boat, I suppose. I read
like
Irish
shoes.
Oh,
Dubarry's.
Oh, there we go. Dubarry's.
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 Yeah, you're right to whisper what's one of them.
Yeah.
Tell me,
sir,
what's
it? They make good wellies as well.
So they make wellies.
And yeah, deck shoes.
Deck shoes.
Right,
deck shoes.
Do you look like a Tory?
They do. I did it. I was going around on those big chunky heels. You know, those like platform ones.
Yeah.
That like if you misstepped in one, it would just crack the ankle straight away.
Spice Girls.
Yes, Spice Girls shoes. Yeah, that's what was in fashion at the time. And what else was happening? They had like skirts and tops. Oh man, I'm not great at describing
clothes.
I'm very bad for like not thinking about. I had a Punky Fish bracelet that I still have now.
Okay.
And what else did I have from them? With fat women, like, we used to do the belt thing under the boobs.
What?
You get the, so it's like a big, thick, like, black belt that's elasticated.
Yes.
That you would pop under the boobs.
Yeah.
And then you'd wear anything underneath it with leggings. Like, that was a big thing. Like, wearing leggings and a little elasticated.
Oh, so is it to, like, if I've then got one for this, is it nipping in at the waist?
Nipping in, yeah. Well,
yeah.
It's like under the tits.
Because your boobs would just hang over it at the front.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like under the tits sounds like
under the tits.
Under the tits.
What a remake of
that was under my sweater.
Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, nipping at the waist. I think that was a big thing. Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
And so I'm imagining a Smith's t-shirt nipped in at the waist.
Oh, I had a Smith. There was a thing I liked when I was a teenager, and that was a Smith's t-shirt with a crushed velour black military jacket and combat. I used to love to remember parachute pants.
Yes, with the bits hanging off them.
Yeah, bits hanging off them. Went to an M&M concert when I was about 14. It was my first time drinking, actually. And I ended up in the police station after, but it was like
nice. Another podcast.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you mean it was nice?
Well, like, because what had happened was I went with my uncle and my cousins and I got lost. And I had a few Bacardi breezes, but I wasn't badly drunk, right? But I did go to the police.
You were 14. Yeah.
I was 14, yeah. And I mean, I look young now. I probably looked about 9. And then I went to the police. I was like, oh, just, I'm lost. And they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, no problem. Do you want to get into the back of this van? I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I went into the back of the, like, a big police van. And, like, I was sitting in the normal seats, and there was a very drunk, violent man in a cave.
And that's how you met Eminem.
Yeah. The police did go, call the silly bollocks there, so it's silly bollocks. Yeah, it was good fun. And my mum picked me up, she was really angry with me. But the trousers, because people kept stepping on them, and I came out in shorts, basically.
Did you have, then... It feels like you did on this estate, but did you have a rebellious phase? And would it have shown up in your clothing?
I think my whole personality and outlook is kind of based on where people told me I should care about a thing. And then I looked at it and I was like, that's stupid. I'm not going to care about that. So I didn't. And I think I would used to dress more outwardly colourful. I remember once I wore blue tights. I was in college, but I came back to my hometown, and I was in a McDonald's in my hometown, and someone shouted over, did a Smurf give you a lick out? Because I was wearing, like, what's incredible, if you could imagine a Smurf giving someone a lick out, like, they were insinuating that if you receive cunnilingus, then the colour will drain down your legs. So, like, once I said that, like, ah, fair enough, you know, but I continued wearing it and stuff, and it was just like, whenever someone would make fun of me, or try and tell me that I was wearing outlandish stuff and that I should be ashamed of it, I would just wear more outlandish stuff. Like, when my granddad used to be like, you dress like a hippie, then I would, like, get all of my most clashing stuff. And then, like, put my hair in about 8 buns and walked, you know, go to, like, a funeral. Yeah.
And so that's the interesting bit for me of, like, why the reaction to that not conforming is to go more extreme. Did that feel safer, or was it like you're just way of going, I'm not taking in anything you're saying, and this is, I'm going to double down and show you.
Yeah, I think it's also like I've been mugged a few times, and I definitely think I've been mugged because of the way I dress, and like. Because the way I look, I don't think it looked like I could be able to fight back or whatever.
Wow.
And like every time that something's like, I wrote an article about this years ago, but when I would dress like mad, and like I would get people, like strangers, just like being mean to me and stuff, like saying stuff to me. And then like it felt very weird because it was just like, that a person would take their time, and you know, these are adults, I'm like 25 or something or whatever, and people would come over. So when they would do that, I was like, I'm not going to give them the satisfaction of dressing in a way that like would make me, I'd rather stupid people being shitheads towards me than me change my behaviour in any way, you know, that kind of way. I didn't think I'd be talking about this. I was like, oh yeah, clothes, all right.
No, that's right. That's yeah. So, and I think there'll be people listening who, hearing that, that will mean something to them.
Well, because I grew up in my village and I was like, I was always just an outcast anyway because I was like the new person in my village, or I was the fat girl, or like, so I wasn't afraid of like being individual in my clothing because it was just like, your opinion really, I don't, like, it sounds like I'm so bitter, but I'm like, I do not care for your opinion. But it just like, once someone feels the need to pick up stuff about that, you're just like, I used to like cover my belly and stuff because I thought that's like the polite thing to do. But you know, it's great crop tops out there and stuff.
Yeah.
And I just have a nice time like putting stuff together. And you shouldn't feel like anything's closed off to you.
Yeah.
Like it feels like, because it feels like being like Jesus Christ. I know it's a comedy and everything, but as a fat person, you just feel like some stuff is closed off to you generally, or you just presume it is when it isn't the case.
Yeah.
So like with clothing, it shouldn't be that way either.
Can I ask, your style now that
yeah.
we see, which is like a riot of colour, and then this is going to sound like it's an insult, but
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, no, right.
It always looks like, I always look at you and I think, you always still look comfortable. Like,
yeah.
Whereas sometimes I will be like deeply uncomfortable, but I'm like, well, I like what I'm wearing, so
yeah.
I'm just going to suffer it.
Yeah.
She says in shoes, she's happy to sit down in, but not walk for
a
yeah.
long time.
So, but with you, I always think that you could always just go off and like, ride a horse or rob a bank.
We so, need to run away.
Yeah. But as a, like, when did that start showing up?
I think that's like, I think when people like would tell me to dress in a way that's more conventional, it would be like if I'm going to a wedding and someone would go like, "Why don't you wear some high heels?" And I'm like, "I'll be standing and I'll be dancing,
mm-hmm.
and I don't understand why you want me to be in more pain. I'm also very short." And 4 inches is not going to make a difference.
Just generally, guys.
I kid. So, like, it just didn't occur to me not to dress comfortable. Yeah, I know sometimes like, I wear clothes that are all the same color, like a big yellow jacket and yellow headdress and stuff like that. And it's not that I go, I'm going to wear all yellow today. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'm going to put these together. And I love putting colours together. I love expressing myself. And the other thing is, like, I kind of do love communicating with people. But I don't give a fuck about your opinion. You know? And
also,
it's
like
very short.
To you.
Oh, I mean, that's why I do comedy. Yeah, definitely. I just I don't feel like every day I want to go, fuck you, to everybody. But I think subconsciously, I kind of do.
Being on stage, I found I'd always thought about what I wore and how people saw me, but suddenly when you're on stage and there's hundreds of people there,
yeah,
you really think about what you wear. And in terms of like practicality, like okay, like when I was deciding what to bring with me, there was a pair of shoes that went better with a dress, but I was like, but they've got a thin heel and I'm comparing, so I'm on and off the stage, so I will go ask of a tape if I'm in there. So
yeah,
there's practical things you have to think of. And then, I don't know if you found this, but being
yeah.
a woman starting to do comedy at NEAR, that we probably started it.
Yeah.
You got a lot of unsolicited feedback on what you should be wearing and what you should
from time.
Men and women.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, don't try, women won't like you if you dress too feminine.
Yeah.
Don't try and wear anything sexy. Like, don't do it. Just things like that. Like, cautionary tales told from probably well-meaning people. But did
yeah.
you find you got a lot of that?
Definitely. And I think it's a big reason, like, I'm 33 now. And I think, like, in my 20s, when I look back at stuff, I feel like I'm kind of dressing in my 20s now, as in, like, crop tops and stuff like that. Because I don't want to look back at my life and go, you never wore a crop top. Well, why didn't you, know? Like, and I think I still will. I saw a woman in her, like, 60s, I would say, and she was in a crop top. And I saw that woman, I saw her body, and I saw her, like, when I see people just living their lives, having a happy time. I think that's actually my biggest style inspiration, is just people that walk down the street. When I saw that, I was like, okay, why am I telling myself you shouldn't wear crop tops in your 20s as if you're not going to wear them in the future? So will. But I wear a lot of like headbands and flowers on it because sometimes my hair, I don't like, my hair is messy. And I think if you throw something on top of your head, yeah, you're going to be fine, right? And I did that at a festival, like wearing a headband. And then I really loved wearing it. I was at a festival, wore a headband, loved it. And I thought, why am I not going to wear this because it's Monday? So I wear headbands all the time.
You mentioned your hair there. Do you think about hair and makeup as part of an outfit?
Yeah, I've always got complimented on the colour of my hair. So I've never dyed my hair. Because sometimes I used to be like a more red and brown hair. So I've never dyed it. And I look at my friends who dye their hair, and it just seems like a lot of upkeep, you know?
Shit.
I feel like a lot of beauty stuff is actual fucking Ponzi schemes. That they get like the amount of, because I like getting my nails done. I've had gels before, but for me, what happened to me is like they make shit of your nails after a while. Like, and they're just like, and it's a tenner dearer, and I just want someone to hold my hand for half an hour. And that's all I want.
That's what we really want.
That's what we're paying for, is human touch, you know. And like, it feels like the beauty in the makeup. I do love doing mad makeup. I love, like, lately I saw this film called Sorry to Bother You, and this woman had a really bright bit of like a line, a stripe under her eyebrow pointed down towards her ear. Never seen that before. It's beautiful. Then I would do that. That's about it, really. But all that
that's about it.
Yeah. I wouldn't, like, contouring. Anything that they go, I think that I do have this like little rebellion where they go, it'll make you look slimmer. Then I'm like, not interested. So I don't want to give myself cheekbones. Like, I don't see the point of that. But I do like doing colour and stuff like that. I'm a horrible, like, I'm a very problematic fat person. If you ask me like tomorrow how I feel about this, I'm like, dog shit. But today, like, you know, I think that's generally, I don't like stuff where they go, you look slimmer, because like I don't feel I need to lie to people like
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
So many flirtations with these. The bodycon, which is those incredibly tight dresses that when I was in my 20s, I just looked like, you know when a snake eats a man?
Yeah!
Yes. Badly packed duffel bag.
Oh, that's wonderful! That's wonderful!
Anything without straps as well is like, you know, like I've got big old heavy tits that are like, listen, it's a literal race to the bottom if you don't give us something to hang on to. So I keep going like, this will be the time I wear something strapless, and then as I hoik my bosom, because it is a bosom, like it's full bosom, hoik them up. You know, just like, do you know what I love to do? Does anyone else do this? Like, if you've got big tits, when I'm talking to people, I absolutely look like at a wedding or something, stick them on the table.
Oh, yeah!
What a fucking sense of relief that is.
Yeah.
All tables should be tit height, so you can just, wait, you come from Nottingham today? Oh, that's legit. I love it. Absolutely love it.
That's beautiful. I'm a big like hand on tip comfort person.
Oh, what? Like down?
Just
there was
talk,
a lot of.
You know, why is it? It's like you're doing the national anthem.
Like,
sorry. husband and I have. Sometimes, yeah, I do that, or like maybe I'll tuck it into the bra. I use my bra
like Napoleon.
Yeah,
is it Napoleon who did that, or the other one?
Who's the other one?
I get confused. I cut that out so I don't look as thick as I am.
Bras actually have always kind of passed me by.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think like because I'm getting like fatter and stuff. I no longer can buy like bras in high street. My back is too big. And then your only options are to get them off the internet. But like I've been like with the sizing and stuff, it's just been like I'm wearing a bra now, and like it is eating into like the bit of my side tit is just But it feels
is
like.
Is it like when they get that wire to cut cheese?
Yes, exactly that. My tits are cheese.
That's not an autobiography. I read it.
By the Laughing Cow.
I get that. I think that bras, people can have a tricky relationship with them. But
yeah.
I would say, it's like, I'm going to be very boring now, that like I've always found bras deeply uncomfortable because of like heavy tits and, you know, like the big marks on my shoulders and stuff.
Yeah.
I had a bra properly fitted, and it was a game changer.
I know, I went for a bra fitting with someone who I think wasn't into her job that much.
You can't phone in a tit fitting.
Yeah.
You've got to feel like you're in the room.
Well, it was after COVID, and she said, due to COVID, I can only do it by eye. And I was like, right? So I had to, like, show her my baps, and then, like, turn around like a weird Gokwan thing. And then she went into the back, and she was like, try this. And I was like, it doesn't fit. I can't help you, mate. And that was like a high street. That
I'm
was like
give you my bra person.
You've got a bra person.
She's genuinely known as the bra whisperer. And I did a routine on when I did Live at the Apollo about having big boobs. She messaged me and she was like, I work for a company called Curvy Cage. She's like, I'm a bra fitter. She said, you're wearing the wrong size bra, I can tell.
Oh my God.
And then she came around and she was like, you're this size, you're not. And then tried it on and it was like, your back, you sit up differently, your waist gets locked, like everything changes. Like, I don't get back pain anymore. Like, it's absolutely amazing. And then because I strapped it on during lockdown, she did like a virtual one. And she's like, oh yeah. She was like, your back size hasn't gone up, but the bra size has. And it's completely different, honestly.
Wow.
And it works with different tits because my friend has what's known as East and West boobs.
What?
Yeah, which means you've got like loads of tit meat here.
Oh, I think that's me.
Yeah, but it's not just like fat, because I got fat here, but
yeah.
it's tit meat. It's different to fat.
Yeah.
It is!
God, I think butchers would love this.
So, yeah, but she has like tit meat here, whereas I have like fat here, and so she has to, you know, so she advises on this type of bra is better for you. So, don't get someone from like someone who's about to quit their job is like, I've got to stand over 2 meters away and do it. Don't get
okay.
that.
I'll give you
my tit hookup. Can I ask, is there an era you wish you existed in, but just for the fashion, for the clothes?
I'd say like, I don't like rockabilly stuff because I'm not like, I look great in it. Like my tits look fantastic in like a rockabilly kind of dress. But I just don't like the style.
So that 50s thing is not your vibe?
No, but I like 60s and 70s.
Yeah,
all the colours.
Yeah.
Like that. And I love a 70s palette. It's quite vile looking sometimes. Like,
oh yeah, some of it looks like different stages of dysentery.
Yeah, you look at the colour of the toilets that happened in the 70s. but there's something really ugly and great about it. I love ugly things that I find pretty. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can see you in 70s flowing-y kind of
caftan.
Yeah.
I need to get into caftan.
Mate, what a fucking game changer. So anything that, like, I call them glamour slankets. Anything that I can slide my arms into that doesn't hold on to me.
Oh.
I could have had double dinners underneath this and you wouldn't have any. Yeah? Thank you.
Imagine shoplifting in that. You'd get everything.
That's true. Yeah. Because I used to put it up the sleeve when I shoplifted.
I shoplifted never put up the sleeve.
Yeah. It's so because you just aren't just looking at this nail, but in it goes.
Yeah.
About the shop.
I did it with this. In Ireland, we've this thing called a deli where you can get like rolls put in, like sausages put into baguettes, like a breakfast roll. So it's like fried egg, sausage, hash brown, bacon. You used to get it made at the top and then you go pay for it at the other end of the shop. And I would slit that greasy bag.
Are you serious? I admire that. That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, I know.
What's your relationship like with shopping? Is it a fun thing for you? Do you like doing it online, in person? Because I know as someone who, I fluctuate between straight size and plus size.
Yeah.
And I hate shopping conventionally.
I hate shopping. I absolutely hate shopping.
I love clothes.
Love clothes. I hate the lighting. I hate getting changed. I hate, I just dislike the idea of shopping. I love shopping for accessories, and I know it's that thing of, because I just definitely know it would fit me.
Yeah.
And I like pretty things. But, I like the idea of getting your clothes from, either people changing their lives and they're giving you a bag of clothes, or you get it in a charity shop or stuff like that. I hate that. I think there should be big massive signs saying what the size is.
Mm.
I'm sick of loving something and then you look at it and it's a 12. Okay.
Yeah.
That kind of, So I hate that aspect of shopping. I hate shopping. I don't like shopping.
The disappointment of it being
it's boring.
Yeah.
It's boring. I like wearing clothes. I don't like. I don't like internet shopping for clothes either that much, because I do shop on the internet for clothes when I'm feeling a bit mental. If I'm being honest with you, if I'm in a low place, then I'll buy myself nice shit. I'm happy with it a few weeks after, but it's not coming from a place of me being in a good place.
Yeah.
So that's a bit
that's
weird. So it's mentally ill you is giving you a present in 6 weeks time.
Oh, wow. It's also you saying 6 weeks time realize that nearly everything you're buying is from China.
I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars, because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Do you see it changing as you get older, or can you see yourself still being a riot of colour and fun accessories when you're, in your 90s?
I think that's when I'm really going to come to bloom.
genuinely... Your crop top era?
Yeah, my crop top era, or just wearing... I'd love if I was an 85-year-old just wear a t-shirt that says wank across it or something like that in the old person tone, all glittery or whatever. I think in the future probably wear less flowery headbands because I'm getting bored of it myself.
Oh, really?
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I go through stages with things.
Yeah. I used to wear, when I first started doing comedy, I had this hat that looked like a koala. And I used to wear it all the time because I loved it. But then I would wear it on stage, and then people were like, oh, that's a great character you're doing.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not dressed like a real person. I don't want to dress like a real person with a backstory. I want to dress as a weird caricature of someone.
But that's, I do associate with being stand-up, but your aesthetic is quite cartoony in a joyous way.
And I do, I do jokes about horrible stuff. I do jokes about, assault and funerals and stuff and real dark shit. And I do like the dichotomy of me wearing bright clothes. Because the other thing is, there's been aspects of my life where, the traumatic things have happened or whatever, but I still wear bright clothes. And I don't think anything can ever stop me from doing that. Yeah. They can't steal the whimsy from me.
Is there an item of clothing you can always see yourself wearing?
I've got a Lisa Simpson's jumper. and it's bright pink, and I love it, and it's so comfortable, and it's just so, it's just a really big picture of Lisa Simpson lying on the floor. And I love The Simpsons. I love Lisa. I think she's a great character.
Yeah.
Because she's clever. And I always felt like I was identified with Lisa Simpson as a kid. Did have all these mad Barts around me, but I would be reading and stuff like, oh, I'm so intelligent. you know. And then I bought it this year. And I really do love it. I love it so much. So I think the Lisa Simpson jumper for me is going to be the one that I keep all the time.
Pop that on over the white t-shirt in the old people's head.
Absolutely. Or I got a Christmas jumper that just has like a full depiction of the nativity in a cartoon way. And I think it just like, it just feels very silly to have a Bible, like a, you know, like a, like actual Jesus in a jumper. Feels great. I love religious iconography.
Okay.
So, like,
you can't throw that in 2 minutes before.
Sorry.
But, like, because we did joke about you dressing, being dressed by God.
Yeah, that's so true. And I didn't get either, did I? But I wear, like, Mary earrings. I'm not religious anymore, but I was really into it when I was a kid. And it really has, like, it's the sleeper cell agent within me. Now, whenever I smell, like, a certain type of incense that smells like church incense, it feels incredible, like I go back
really?
There. Yeah, and it goes back to a time where I felt like there was a, you know, a, an after party after you die, and I felt comfortable with it. Now there isn't, but like I still love the iconography.
Well, thanks for coming, everyone.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun little chat about clothes. Oh, there's no afterlife. Final question.
Yes.
This could be a sad question, but it's meant to be very upbeat. Is,
oh, yeah, I'll keep it upbeat, mate. No, trust me.
Trust me. This is actually the end of the podcast. Is what would you like to be where? What would you like to
buried in?
To be buried in? Yeah, your final outfit.
I would love to be buried in... I'd love to be buried in a bridesmaid's dress. Just to fuck with the people that find me thousands of years from now. I think so. I think I don't like. I don't know. Like I'd like if I die as well. If my boyfriend likes a jumper, and he wants to keep it to wear. Like I'd like people if they. I'd like all of my clothes to be splayed out beside my coffin.
Okay.
And like,
it's just like a jumble sack.
In big plastic, black plastic bag. Because it's the ultimate weight loss, you know. I'm dead. So you can go through my clothes if you want, and if you can get it. That's what I'd like.
I mean, that will happen anyway.
Yeah, but
that's
you know
what happens when people... Yeah. You just described a charity shop.
I want my corpse to be there. I want them to see. I want them to eyeball. Well, I mean, you can't really eyeball me, really. But, yeah. Do you think charity shops should do, like, a little photo of this is who it's from? No, no. Like,
I don't think that'll catch on. There's a brilliant comic called Janice Connolly. He's got a character called Barbara Nice, who's like a mother of three from Stockport. She's got this great joke where she's like, oh, I got this from, you know, British Heart Foundation. She went, isn't it lovely when someone just your size dies? you've been such a fantastic guest. I'm so glad I had this chat with you because you're someone that I always like. You're really sort of like, when I see you, it's a real like feast for the eyes. Always taking everything because it's never just like, oh, it's a really cool dress and leggings, or it's a really cool top and jump. It's like, oh, and now I've seen the earrings and now I've seen the head. There's always so much to. You're like a walking Where's Wally. it's a wonderful thing. And thank you so much for coming and bringing. We've never done one of these live before.
Yeah.
You're the perfect guest.
Oh,
Alison Spittle there, a walking Where's Wally. I'm not sure that came over as a compliment I intended. Do you know what? I really love her grit and just lack of respect for the conventions when it comes to what we wear or should wear or how we should behave or be seen or not seen. And it's also very nice to bond with someone over resting your tit on a table at a public event. Speaking of tits, that story I tell of being bra fitted by Eye on Telly, by the amazing Katie, the Braille Whisperer. That is a real story. In fact, I've recently shared a reel of that, that routine on Instagram, so you can see, because I think it looks like I'm wearing the right bra. I'm not encouraging everyone to stare at my tit. Well, I am. I mean, look at what I'm wearing. But, like, I think it looks like I'm in bang on the right bra. And she's like, no. You should follow Katie. She's brilliant and loads of great tit chat. If you want to follow her, she's at Weir. So it's like weird without the D. Weir Wonderful, all one thing, on Instagram. Yeah, she's absolutely brilliant. She's a really good sort of fun presence as well. Now then, I have got a belting small business to recommend to you. It's very Alison. It's very cool. Please get to know My Poor Purse. It is a female-founded indie business that makes really colourful, sort of cartoonish clothes in sizes 6 to 30, and they ship worldwide. So at the moment, My Poor Purse is just a one-woman operation. Everything is made to order by Jade, who founded the business in 2016. And then everything blew up in lockdown. Dresses are introduced, and she's not looked back, really. It being made by one person means that she pays herself properly for her time. She only opens her books when she's got the time to do stuff. So no one is being forced to work when they're, you know, knackered or have got other stuff going on. And there's no very little waste because it's made to order and no stock just sat there not doing anything. They're very, very limited pieces too. So there's only ever a couple of each item made. Great news for people like Alison and I who love to stand out. Do you know what? There's a dress she does. I think it's called the Pickle Print Puff Dress, and it's got these pickles on it and these great puffy shoulders, and I could absolutely see Alison in that outfit. And the Upcycle Band t-shirts as well are an absolute thing of beauty. Any offcuts from making these garments are used in zero waste products, or they are sent to other small businesses to use. And if you have a look on the website, there's a really cool thing that she has called scrap skirts and scrap dresses, and they are made of offcuts from other things. So they're sort of like mixed materials, and they look amazing. And also zero waste, so you can feel really smug in them. You can also create your own unique dress as well by selecting the style and fabrics, or even send your own in. All the packaging at My Poor Purse is 100% recyclable, and even the tags on it use paper string, which is something, do you know what, it's something I never think about, is that, like, yeah, of course, all the tags have a little plastic thing that goes on them. And I know more and more people are using, like, string now or a safety pin, but, like, it's just another hidden bit of plastic that will be here long after we are, so love the paper string. Honestly, I think you guys are going to really enjoy looking at My Poor Purse. They've got a website, www.mypoorpurse.com, and it's My Poor Purse on Instagram as well. We're on Instagram, at whoyouwearingpod. You can also just send us a message on there. We get loads of lovely messages for you. Some I was going to read out, but I sometimes ask and go, can I read this out? And if people haven't got back to me in time because I've messaged them at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday evening, then I can't read them out. But I've got loads of great messages to get through, so maybe we'll do another app where we just talk to you guys. You can also email us at whoyouwearingpod@gmail.com. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this series. It's been an absolute joy to put together. The cogs are already turning about series 4. Maybe actually on the Instagram I'll whack up a little thing and you can make guest suggestions. Don't say Billy Porter, because obviously I want to speak to Billy Porter. I don't have an in, guys. Something that you think is achievable. Also, loads of people you suggest, I've asked and they've said, their agents have said no already. But I promise I am persistent and I'll wait till I'm on some kind of panel show with them and then harangue them. I've been so proud of this series, and the messages you guys have sent have made it absolutely worthwhile. You connected in it in just the way that I hoped you would, really. Yeah, thank you so, so much. And hopefully see you on my tour. Yes, I'm on tour for the whole of 2024. It's called Peacock. Give that a Google and Kiri Pritchard McLean. And I'm pretty sure I'll be coming to a venue very close to you. See you this year.
Who
You Wearing is produced by Joe Southard. The artwork is by Mary Phillips. And the music is by Annie Glass. This has been a Little Wonder production.